Welcome home. We are WNST, AM 1570 Towson, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive, and we are positively in a little bit of a homeland for me. I am no stranger to the bar here at Red Brick Station. I may have christened it back in the day when he had those cups with everybody's name on it hanging over the bar. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. We have scratch-offs from our friends at the We're going to do the Let's Make a Deals, but I have the Back to the Future. This is my Back to the Future because even in the movie, the whole town square here was kind of like out of the 88 car back in 1997, 98. Bill Blocker's here. His beautiful daughter Katie's here. They have a fantastic wine bar that's an addition that I'm going to be very inquisitive about today. But we're in White Marsh. We're on the Avenue. Bill, as I drink a grown-up beer made right here on the premise, I need to first cheers to you and all the years you've been here and to your daughter, but I am publicly apologizing to you because I think I came in here in 19... When did you open? What year?
97.
All right, so the Ravens came in 96. When did you enter the earth, Katie?
I don't want to reveal that.
Okay, but somewhere, were you on the air? Were you on the earth at that point? So 1996, the Ravens came, and I lived right down the street here. I lived in Silver Spring Station, and then I lived on Springhouse Court back by the Boomy Temple, King Avenue, or the Duck Farm behind the Giant. And the only thing here was the mall, the Giant. Fritz was selling his liquor over here, White Marsh Plaza Liquors. And they started to bring cranes in here, and they dug up all the dirt. And I guess all the rabbits were running around because it's a swamp. It's a marsh, right? And I remember when the mall was built in 81, and I came over here and I met Bill Blocker, B-L-O-C-H-E-R. I even had the pronunciation right. And I said to him, I'm Budweiser sponsored. I want to do my show here. I live in White Marsh. My Monday Night Live show, I want to do my show here. And this is when I was doing business with the barn over in Parkville. And you said to me, I don't sell Budweiser. And I'm like, how in the hell is this ever going to make it? How are you going to make it here?
You're not the only one that said that, believe me.
And you said to me, I make my own beer. And I'm like, who's going to drink that in America?
You
I was so wrong.
It's so funny.
You were a visionary, man.
Well, I wasn't. It was the industry was just starting. But in 97, there were seven breweries in Maryland. We were number seven.
Hugh Sisson was the only one I knew.
Hugh was the one ahead of me, as was Brewer's Art and Duclaw. That was it. And the others were basically contract brewers, but there were seven brewing licenses. We were the seventh that could do food and booze and whatever.
How did you get it? How hard was it to get? Why did you want it?
It was interesting. Now it's not nearly as hard because they deregulated in Maryland.
Sure.
There's 160 breweries here now. In 28 years, we've gone from 7 to 160, and there's like 32 in planning. So you're going to be over 200 breweries by the end of this year.
Nobody thought it was a great idea. Now, I used to drink down at Hugh's place, and I've had Hugh on.
Yeah.
Hugh at Heavy Seas, Hugh Sisson. Sisson's was his place. He had delicious, he had these lemon pepper beer wings that I'm still grilled that were still one of the greatest things.
Well, he was actually the visionary. He's the one that started the whole thing. In Maryland, when he was down and it was just Sisson's, I was running the ship to Clipper City. And I used to buy a raspberry lambic beer from him that nobody could even think of. And he was making these avant-garde beers, and I thought, this is insane. I put it on the boat. He came to me a few years later and said, I'm getting rid of Sisson's. I'm going to build a bigger brewery. I'm going to call it Clipper City. Do you mind if we use the name of the boat? I was like, I can't trademark it. We stole the name from Manitowoc, Wisconsin. You know, I want you to get out there and put a picture of a boat on your beers. That's great for us. But Hugh was the real visionary. He started it, and I adored him as a businessman. And when we opened here, he came in and just said, good on you.
He was a mentor.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but you'll never take credit for anything, so.
Nah, I'm just not that smart.
Give me the whole, I don't know your family background. I've known you forever. I know what your chicken tenders taste like. I now know your daughter and the business next door. But I've never done this in this format, not even probably over a beer when I knew you and sat in here 3 days a week.
Well, we did have a couple of beers at a Christmas party you did here 1 year.
See, he's got memory. People remember stuff I did.
You had a Christmas party here way back. And we had a trade
for it. Was it in the banquet room?
No, it was here. It was 98.
I was in your banquet room when I wrote Purple Rain 1 in 2001.
Yeah.
Bruce 52 was here.
Yep.
And I signed books and did a show. I don't know who was here. I must have had a player. Somebody? Was it Todd Heap or something? I don't know who it was. But I did a show here with you one time because I was Budweiser sponsored and you didn't sell Budweiser.
I remember.
Which really was a problem for Winter Distributing.
And you said, but no, we can make it work anyway. And I'm like, I really can't. You know,
It's just bring in a couple of cases and let me hang a sign, blocker. Come on, man. You know? But you, so you remember me throwing that Christmas party.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I remember.
It was fun.
So for me, I don't know how the concept of this could work would happen here. I mean, De La Rosa's has come and gone. Don Pablo's is coming. Things have happened here.
Everybody's
things have been built. The mall. You're still here with the concept you had that a lot of people thought, that's a little avant-garde. Avant-garde was the word for it,
I don't know
it,
if
right?
it was avant-garde. I think it was, at that time, brew pubs were starting to do really well nationwide. Tony, my business partner, I'll go back. When I met Hugh Sisson, I was running a boat in the Inner Harbor called the Clipper City. We started that boat in 85. In 85, I went to work for them, and by 95, the boat had turned a corner and started to make a little money, and I had told the investment group.
It's a tourism boat, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like, okay, all right.
It looked like the Pride of Baltimore, but it was actually bigger.
Okay.
It was the largest.
We did Girl Scouts.
And we did Girl Scout troops, and we did everything. Anything to get people on the boat. It held 150 people, and it sailed around the harbor.
Okay.
We went out to the Key Bridge or the Bay Bridge and came back and did all kinds of stuff. But it was a very tough business to make any money. When they finally got to a point where they're making a little bit of money, I said, I'm done. I can't do this anymore. I want to build a brewery and restaurant. The investment group were like, well, you know, we really need you to see and stay and see the boat. Well, Tony Mioli, who is my real true mentor, he owned a bunch of McDonald's, and we were friends since back in 72 when I worked for McDonald's, and he owned a bunch of McDonald's.
So your background was in fast food?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's
all
where
right.
I started that and Athletic Club.
Everybody I ever knew, at first job was at Geno's or KFC or McDonald's or Wendy's.
When I worked at McDonald's, you could actually, the statistic was this, 10% of working America has worked at McDonald's. This is back in the 80s, 70s.
Sure,
80s.
First job.
Yeah, everybody had to start somewhere. And I make a point, honestly, if I can get employees that come from McDonald's background, I hire them on the spot. Because they know what they're doing, they understand customers, and they keep working.
How often did McDonald's run their labor?
God, hourly.
How often do you run your labor?
Hourly.
Well, it never changes, right? I mean, it is a customer service. I mean, you've obviously, you and your family, and Katie, you looked at me and I looked at you. You're like, you look familiar. And I'm like, you look familiar to me. And I'm like, you grew up in here, right?
Fully grew up in here. Yes.
Yep.
That's why you look familiar to me.
I still have I have a picture on my wall in my office where Katie was 11 or 12.
Probably,
making bread.
Probably 11, because when I was 12, I bussed tables.
That's right.
So.
Yeah. So he was 11 years old making bread in the kitchen at 5 a.m. Do you remember that?
Yeah, we drove here in the snow.
Yep.
So Paul Weineke is your general manager. I met him last year at the Oyster Recovery Partnership. So oysters are another thing that, you know, I do this crazy crab cake tour, and Damien at Fadley's brought me fried oysters about 3 years ago. And, like, while I'm doing the show, and I'm picking from it and eating and being a pig, and I'm like, God, they're good. And I'm like, I never get fried oysters because they're always so far down the menu for me as a menu item. Always something else I want to get ahead of them. And they were so delicious. And she said, oysters oxygenate the bay. And without the bay, you don't have any crabs. Without any crabs, you don't have any crab. And I'm like, all right, I'll take that under advisement. And that goes with beer, too. So last summer, I did 30 oysters in 30 days in the month of August. This year, I'm doing my favorite foods in August. And I went around, and the Oyster Recovery Partnership was part of this. And I met, and I saw Paul, and I said, how's Bill, and what's going on? He's like, daughter's open thing next door. You got to come see it. I'm like, well, I've been through the avenue, and I saw it, but I didn't even associate that with you.
A lot of people don't.
That's cute. I saw something like that in Manhattan once, and I saw something like that in Florida once. The wine and cheese.
The whole thing.
Deli shop.
I'll give you an abbreviated version, and you can chime in. Katie came back from New York after you lived there for 7 years.
Yeah.
About 7 years in Manhattan. She graduated from SCAD with an illustration degree and went to work for, Karam Rashid. Karam Rashid.
You graduated beyond making bread in the kitchen in White Marsh.
Wait a minute. I'll give you part of that.
In your back.
Part of that is she graduated in 3 years because she managed a pizza shop for somebody during the summer and got out of college early because you ran a pizza shop.
And a tea room,
that's right.
So if you're going to do all that, why not do it for your old man? Right?
That's exactly right. Well, she went to Manhattan.
Come back home to family business.
Yeah.
We got family business.
They always come back to Red Brick.
They do.
They always come back. Even
she wound up going to Manhattan and actually had some really cool jobs with an artist and in tea room. No, not tea room up there. It was, what was the? Society of Illustrators.
Yeah, yeah. I, no matter what, always worked in a restaurant.
Yeah.
Didn't matter what I was doing, art,
you
career,
still
whatever.
In a restaurant.
I was always
I say skinny working in a restaurant. It always worries me, man.
You're
if
moving.
I lived here.
No, you're moving.
Yeah, you are moving.
You move
Laps.
All the time.
Yeah.
So anyway, when Katie met her husband, Dan, who was a chef, worked for Mario Batali in Manhattan, they decided to get married, and when they finally were having a family, she said, I can't stay in Manhattan. I can't stay in Manhattan. So she came back and said, I said, look, I'll put you to work right away. I need somebody in the office to take over for Pat, to sell banquets, to manage. She became a manager on the floor. She did pretty much everything I do. When she came back, it was just like, my girl's home.
I don't fix the toilets.
No, that's true. I do that.
The toilet's very nice, though. I saw on there. I saw the specials.
Yeah, that's
I see
right.
what you're doing for Barks. I see
that's
the
right.
stuff you're doing here.
Well, anyway, she came back, and about 5-6 years in to being back here, she said, our banquet room is just killing me. We're wasting space. We were only doing probably between $400,000 and $500,000 a year in that whole room.
Right.
And it was empty 5 days a week because there's a million other restaurants here now.
Well, not only that, it's the hotels. They built, you know, we have 7 hotels in the region now where there were 2. Those hotels give the world away to keep people in-house and sell them food and beverage.
Sure.
So they give it away. So I can't get banquets anymore, and I got 100 empty seats back there 5 nights a week. She said, I really want to convert the banquet room. So she convinced me when she invited the Avenue higher-ups.
Well, some things that were a good idea in 1997, like AM radio,
right.
Become, you know, you evolve. You
well,
evolve,
she invited the girls from the Avenue and the management from the Avenue and the salespeople from the Avenue and said, I want to convert this space to a kind of a high-end deli, a quality deli, and a wine shop, wine bar.
Now, where's the inspiration for this? Where'd you see
Manhattan.
This?
Manhattan.
I mean, Manhattan, but like...
Italy?
Like... A little bit of everything. I mean, even like, so in the shop, we serve all of our sandwiches on old china, right? And so like little things like that, that came from the tea room that I worked
it's
in.
It's an old-fashioned
yeah,
kind of,
like,
it's like half old-fashioned, half modern. It's,
yeah.
it's.
I just pulled from a lot of different places I've been, a lot of different places I've worked. I always said it was kind of an organic process, and it really has been because we started with nothing on the shelves, and now there's all kinds of fun stuff. People bring us old stuff that they think would look good up there. I've had winemakers come and sign bottles. They go up on the shelves.
How many years?
It'll be 5 this month.
Yeah. Wow, yeah. five year old. Well, cheers to that.
Cheers.
You have some. Is that a Chardonnay? What is that?
No, this is the Prosecco. This
I'm
is,
just checking. It's an
she's
afternoon.
Bubble, she's a bubble girl.
I'm a stout guy even
light,
on an 80-degree
nice
day.
Light.
That's the way I roll around here. So the concept of doing that, I've seen very similar, even in a strip outdoor mall in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen that sort of concept where it becomes... I don't want to say Starbucks because you got one of those across, but Starbucks was designed, if you read, you know, any of, you know, Howard's books back in the day, to be this gathering place, right? Like the upscale library with Wi-Fi, right? In the
right.
modern era, your thing's kind of a hang. I mean, it's kind of a place to gather and grab a sandwich and grab some wine. That's not a restaurant sit down, but more open and airy. I mean. I can see why it's working. I was in there for lunch. It's packed.
It's casual, but it's classy. Like,
well, it's also the quality of what you're doing.
Yeah, you're going to get really good quality food, really good quality wine, but so casual. You can come in your gym clothes. I don't care.
What makes a quality deli? I mean, I went in there and I saw, first off, you smell the cheese.
Yeah.
You smell like I'm in Naples or something. But the big cheese logs and really the different kinds of meats that looked, It's not what I see in Wise Markets.
No,
it's a little different
that.
Than that. So this is very, I mean, and Billy said, you should get the sandwiches. I almost got the French dip. So I'm thinking to myself, where's the roast beef? And then I see your deli, and I'm like, this is going to be really special if I get a roast beef sandwich.
One of the things that was interesting when we started this whole process, it was just going to be pretty simple. We interviewed people for meats and cheeses and all this stuff, and then we realized roast beef, corned beef, pastrami, and turkey, we can make it all here.
Yeah.
So why are we going to buy lunch meat? And we didn't buy any. So there's no processed meats here with the exception of the Italian meats that we bring in from Parma. And they're not processed. They're cured.
Like a prosciutto?
We do the salamis and mortadelles.
Right.
But everything
else
is...
Can I say gabagool? I just want to say that because it's pronounced.
No, you can't.
I just want to say gabagool.
No.
We're not serving not on the Avenue in White Marsh. Katie and Bill Blocker are here. What is your married last name? So I give you a real name?
Izzo. Yeah,
Izzo.
I'm a Katie Izzo.
See, this I don't have producers around here. I don't even get my lottery tickets in front of me. I'll get that out. We're at Red Brick Station. We're in White Marsh. We're on the Avenue. I said it would never work, and here I am staring at the mall, which looks like it never did work, but it worked because I was over there. White Marsh is, I mean, just undergone, just the fact that Bandidos, there's this thing here, but this transition of White Marsh and everything that was built back here.
It's crazy.
You're shaking your head.
I can't even believe it's still here. Honestly, I never had an end game doing this business. I didn't think when I was 42 that I'd be turning 70 in the same spot I stood when we opened.
Well, did you have an exit?
No.
The exit was, make beer, and it's going to be great, and we're going to make money, and it's going to be awesome.
I like working.
I'm going to build an iconic restaurant in a community. Now, where are you from originally?
I grew up in Baltimore. I mean, I lived in Catonsville till I was 6 years old, and then moved to Harford County. But I've been a local guy forever.
This is why I would ask you this, because I'm a Dundalk guy. I lived on the other side of Perry Hall when the mall was humping, mid-90s. I didn't smell or sense the need for any of this at that time. And I lived here. I lived here, and I thought, mall's got everything I need. Inside. Want to go outside and shop? What a dumb concept that is,
To the beginning of this, a guy named Doug Dahlenberg started Nottingham Properties. He went to the Campbell family and said, this is a perfect spot right off 95 to build a lifestyle center. This was also a visionary guy.
Lifestyle center.
That's
what
he called
it.
It's a Main Street.
This is where I want to get this.
There's no
Main Street
to White Marsh.
I have these Back to the Future scratch-offs, and if you know that scene in the movie with the clock, that's what it looked like, especially when it was a dirt road and you were the only thing open here.
Yeah.
It was like building, half a building, dirt road, some parking, and the tower. And it looked like that scene, right?
I think a lot of people don't know that the Avenue was supposed to be like a Main Street.
Right.
And you were the firehouse.
Well, I was the first one to open. So when they told me, it started like this. Tony Mioli, who was a brilliant businessman, we said, we really like the idea of putting our brewery here because we were friends with these guys because I had an office I rented from them a while back for Clipper City. When they showed us the drawing of what they wanted to do on the Avenue, nothing had been started yet. And they said, we've got a lease with the movies at that time was Lowe's Theaters. We've got a lease here. And Tony said, well, when you leave Lowe's Theaters and you get onto that street, what's on the right-hand side? And they said, nothing yet. He said, well, that's our building.
People always go right.
They always turn right.
That's why when you're Disney World, you got to go left.
Yeah.
So you did the research on this back in 95, right?
Yeah, so when we decided we would do this space, the Avenue came up with all their drawings for the pro forma, what they want to see. And they were building a Main Street. This building, we didn't call ourselves Red Brick Station when Tony and I incorporated. We were White Marsh Brewing Company. We were here to make beer and food and build a brew pub. When they showed us the building, and it was the only brick building on the entire Avenue, and they showed us the next one, that was supposed to look like a post office. The next one down at the end was the library. This end was the Capitol or the office building for the.
Now, at this time, we're 25 years removed from Rouse building Columbia. This was all best practices, and this had been done in other places.
Yep.
But nobody here had ever seen anything like
Nothing. This,
right? Like, I had been to California, 90120, where the malls were built outdoor. If you've ever been to San Diego, the malls are all outdoor because of the weather.
Well, they're doing that in Miami now. All
this
the malls
was
are
never like that. This was its own. I keep saying Back to the Future because I got these crazy scratch-offs, but that's literally when you say Town Square and the end and the library and the post office. Like,
well, that was the idea, and now I was the only
This was going to be downtown White Marsh.
I remember like 10 years in, you being like, I'm the only one that stuck to the theme.
You know why? Because I was the first one in, and I decided to follow the theme. Yeah. Nobody else did. What they did after that was that took a backseat to getting this place rented because they had put out $60 million to get it done. So now they're thinking, oh, my God, we got all these beautiful buildings built. We just got to fill them. So nobody else – actually, I take that back. When Bayou Blues was built, they had Doc Crawford's Barbecue and Bread's Horizon. They wanted to be part of a Main Street thing. Unfortunately –
a bakery. And he was doing barbecue and blues, right? Yeah.
So they really wanted to be part of a Main Street thing. They were the only other ones that followed. Everybody else was like, it's a good spot. Let's just rent it. We don't care. We actually named ourselves after the building. The building was built as a red brick fire station. So we called all the local fire companies. At that time, it was White Marsh Volunteer, Cowanton Volunteer.
So the idea would be, if I came here to a young person, you'd say, "Did this used to be a firehouse?" Right
above us, there's a hose tower. This tower that's outside was designed to look like a hose tower, back in the day, firehouses had one big tower. They pulled their hoses up on lines to drain them so they wouldn't rot. And this is a hose tower above us. So it really made sense. And when Tony said, well, what are we going to name this place? We can't just be White Marsh Brewing Company. We're going to be in a red brick firehouse. And I said, well, we got to figure it out. So we did a contest with some of the employees we were hiring early and some of the managers. And then we went up to New England and hired this girl, last name was Lapidus, I can't remember, to come up with some ideas of a logo and all that. And finally it just became, I think it was Don McCackie actually said, Red Brick Station.
All these years later, it's still the firehouse, right?
He hand-painted the logo.
He
right?
did.
Yeah, I mean,
he hand-painted the logo. It was like
that was like, this was like pre-Photoshop.
Yeah, yeah.
And then all of a sudden you have a brand.
Yeah. And we stuck to it and we did it. And we, you know, the one thing that was difficult, because just like you said, Anheuser-Busch and all the big breweries, all the big companies were coming in saying, we need to sell you this. It's the hottest thing on the market. And it's the hottest thing on the market. It's very hard sticking to your guns and saying, no, I make beer. I make beer. I'm sorry.
Did you ever sell a Zima in this joint?
Nope.
Nope. I didn't know, you know.
No. We will sell a few High Noons now.
We do sell some High Noons.
A few White Claws.
White Claws are gone.
Served a beer in here that's not your beer.
We have three guest taps that we put other brewers that are friends of ours on. Mike McDonald is sitting on the other side of the bar.
Is he?
Mike was
from
here.
From Key Brewing?
Yeah.
That's Dundalk over there. Where is he?
He's sitting at the bar having lunch.
Former guest of mine.
Well, Mike
on the
opened
show.
Mike opened this brewery. He put all this equipment that you see here. He did everything to build this brewery. He worked here for 20 years before he started Key. When Mike left, we decided we would create taps for Key. So we have three Key taps and one other guest tap that right now we have Monument on, who's also in bed with Key.
Key
now.
Down in Highlandtown,
right.
Sure.
So they now
Dundalk in Highlandtown. I mean,
yeah,
you know, forever.
Same thing.
Same thing.
But anyway, so we kept those taps, but that's the only other beer we've sold. Local breweries and us, nothing else.
I said it would never work, and we're here. We're here at Red Brick Station.
You and everybody else.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I was wrong, and everybody else is wrong, and he's drinking that. Bill Blocker's here. Katie's here. The name of your place is?
Ando's. Ando's Market.
Why Ando's?
Well, Tony Miola, you've mentioned several times now, business partners, and in Italian, Tony is Ando.
Tony was born in 1938. He was born in the U.S. His parents both were from Italy. When he was born, his father and mother spoke broken English, and when he was christened, you know, he's a Catholic, he was Anthony Joseph Mioli, and his father said, he's Ando.
Yeah.
That's Ando. And that was his name as he grew up. When he became a school teacher and then a salesperson, then a McDonald's franchisee and all that, he became Anthony or Tony. But growing up, and his sisters and cousins and everybody still know him only as Ando.
Well, what a wonderful tribute to his name.
It's an homage.
It is.
Nice.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, what am I getting over at your place? I know enough that the menu over here, I mean, I almost got the shepherd's pie, the bangers, all those old school. I didn't know what the hell bangers and mash was till I met him 30 years ago, and now I've been to London, so I know better, but For your place and for sandwiches, what am I getting over there? Because everything looks so delicious.
Well, classics. We've got four or five classics.
He's bringing me some classics here from Red Brick. But go ahead.
Probably the very first sandwich we ever made is called the Figgy Piggy. To me, it was like a classic combo that I've had a few times in New York and in some cities. It's a prosciutto di Parma. We hand slice it on a crank machine. Fig jam, goat cheese, arugula, balsamic on a baguette.
Yes.
Only a few ingredients.
Only,
but
yes.
Literally, like,
what
the
is
sweet,
this
salty
thing he's bringing over? This is some sort of Chesapeake sort of club, but
that's it. That's exactly what it's called. How did you name
it? It's as big as my head.
How did you name it?
Look at how big. That's my head, and this is how big it is. That's a big sandwich. All right. That's what we're doing, the crab cake tour. You're turning this into something
here.
Well,
this is a fried Maryland crab cake, shrimp salad, Swiss cheese, and bacon.
All right, so this is.
That's just a.
It's broiled.
That's broiled, and that's how I eat a crab cake. We can serve it a lot of ways. That crab cake is a broiled Maryland crab cake with crackers, and we need yellow mustard and coleslaw. That's it. There's no sandwich. There's no nothing.
You're West Side. You're Catonsville guy?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm a Dundalk guy. So
yeah.
We're going to have it. We're going to have at it now.
Yep.
So I've had a lot of crab cakes the last 5 years.
Oh, yeah.
The tour.
Well, you did a big tour with crab cakes.
I have not done yours, and I'm looking. So I've had this argument from the beginning about fried and broiled.
I'm curious. So this is Catonsville?
Yeah, oh yeah, this is West Side.
No, this is an argument about fried and broiled and filler and slurry and profile and mustard. You've already thrown mustard at me. That's such a West Side thing.
Oh yeah.
East Side thing is more Old Bay, more salt, more cocktail sauce. Now I will tell you that this is the part that blew me away. I did crab cakes everywhere in the state. I did every county 3 summers ago in August on the crab cake tour. 95% of the places that brought me a crab cake brought me tartar sauce.
Tartar.
Yeah.
No.
If you have to add that much to it, something's wrong.
I couldn't believe that, like, tartar comes with fish sticks in Dundalk. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
Now, cocktail sauce, you know, I'll make a thing for that.
Maybe.
But fried versus broiled.
Well, I'll tell you honestly.
I never had a broiled crab cake in my life until I got Gucci Hoochie Coochie in my 20s.
No, you're right.
Because in Dundalk, we were poor. We took special meat. My mom, breadcrumbs. Mustard, mayo, Worcestershire. There you go, right? Old Bay, little celery seed maybe in there.
Yep.
And into the fryer. Little hockey pucks.
I still want a fried crab cake more than I want a broiled crab cake.
See, okay, you're all right with me. You're all right with me because I like.
And a crab fluff is even better because we do a beer batter that we make with our beer. That's got
nobody knows about crab fluff. They don't make those most places.
Oh no!
Just so you know,
I don't know about crab fluff.
I got a place for you with a crab fluff that's phenomenal.
There is some people that still make it. Where is it?
Schultz's in Essex.
I know where it is. Schultz's. I got to try it.
I went in there with my family on the crab cake tour, just moving around, and I hadn't been there since I was a boy, and it was on the menu. And I'm telling you, there aren't 5 or 10 places in town that make a crab fluff.
The thing I like about a crab fluff is when you batter it and fry it, okay, and it hardens like a shell. When you open it up, the crab cake cannot dry out like they do broiled or fried. It can't dry out.
It stays
out.
Moist.
It's inside. So the whole thing explodes.
Tell me about a crab fluff.
Like, but don't hush puppy me with it. I don't want hush puppy. Don't.
What's in a crab fluff?
Crab fluff is a good batter to fry it in. Any kind of good batter. Something that has a little flavor. We do with beer batter.
Okay, so it's crab cake.
Beer batter's the way to do it.
Crab cake. You make the same crab cake, but you batter and fry it till it's hard.
You had me thinking like we were like marshmallowing
something. Oh, no. I don't know. It's a crab cake.
You guys getting old. Let's have a drink over this and talk about crab cakes. We're at Red Brick Station. Bill Blocker's here. His beautiful daughter Katie's here. Come by Ando's. Come by Red Brick. It's all brought to you by the Maryland Lottery. I have the Back to the Future. And this is a great scratch-off for me because I feel like I am Back to the Future here because I sat in this bar 3 days a week when she was much younger and I was a little younger. I used to come in here for lunch when I was nationally syndicated, 99, 2000, and 2001. I was on the air at 2 o'clock. And at a sporting news in Northbrook, Illinois. So I would have a conference call in the morning on the phone lines. I had a broadcast phone line in my house back here by Essex Community College. And about 10:30 in the morning, 11 in the morning, I'd run out and get lunch and run back to get ready for the show, maybe 12, 12:30. So I was in here when you opened a lot. I mean, you and Chili's and later Don Pablo's were the places I could get to quickly and eat.
Yep.
And so I would come up here all the time and have lunch. So this is Back to the Future for me. Still here. Why has this worked?
It's, you know what?
Can I answer that one?
Go ahead.
I'd actually like to answer. Because he's here every day. Because he's here. It's a family business. And the family is still here. There's a lot of other reasons, but that's what
it
boils down to.
You know what? If you want to be in the restaurant business, everybody says it's so hard. Not if you accept the fact that you have to show up. Show up. People respect it. Your employees respect it. A lot of this is babysitting, but you got to show up.
I just try to get the best business advice. If that's what you got, that's what you got.
Show
up. If after 30 years, that's what you got.
Show up. It's really not that hard. It's honestly, the business has gotten easier for me because I show up.
What about this community and this incredible kids space? I mean, so many things have been done. You mentioned the doc. And by the way, you absolutely should have stolen his peach muffin.
Right? Oh.
Dude, those peach muffins.
I know. It was insane.
You should have put that on the minute he disappeared over there. But I remember the bread company over there.
Oh, yeah.
But the rethinking of movies when this went to IMAX, right?
Oh, yeah.
The fact that Hibachi Grill showed up. The fact that Tony De La Rose, I went in there a couple weeks ago. It's a Jamaican joint. It was bumping. Times change, tastes change, things change.
Yeah.
Chili's hadn't changed. You haven't changed, but there really is something about this community. I lived here on two different sides. My kid went to high school at the Hall, Perry Hall. And when I come back here now, everything from the mall has been sucked out into this. The iFly, all the Texas thing back here, all the things that are back here.
Yeah.
It could not have been envisioned by the people because I saw the original blueprints here, man.
Malls ran their course. Malls became a great gathering place for a lot of years. But when you're locked to inside compared to something like this, people get these ideas from Miami, from California, from all over the place. It works in any environment as long as you adapt. Here in the wintertime, this kid's space that's out here now, we have an ice skating rink. Who does that in a shopping center?
And they love it.
And when they brought this idea to you and you're hearing this, this makes you want to put an Ando's next. This makes you want to stay, not leave. Because there's so – listen, I talk to business owners who have left downtown to go here. People talk about leaving the state. I'm about to get Nick Stewart on. He wants to run Baltimore County. We're going to talk to him about zoning and different stuff. But, like, the fact that this worked and that I lived here and was a part of the tax base and paying first for my apartment, then my home. I moved over there in early 98, right after you opened. I mean, we've known each other all these years, like this warm thing. I walk into your new space and there's a hug and I haven't seen you in years. But it's changed. But like I come out here and there's still an incredible vibrance. I mean, I pulled up thinking, well, parking's going to be easy. No, there were a lot of cars here. I pulled up and thinking, well, I hope they're doing okay. It's middle of the week, and I try to come when it's a little bit quiet on a Wednesday. You're bang. I didn't think you'd be over here to be able to do the show because your little place is banging next
She
door.
Had an extra person come in
I
today.
I did. I've got a good staff. They came in for
God
me.
God help. But that's part of running great. A good business, but that's also part of all of these businesses. And it's not easy. Competition, different things comes online. Somebody wants an ice skating rink. Somebody wants to turn it into a show palace. People want some things. Now, I remember when Tony De La Rose wanted to do the midget wrestling matches out here in the middle of the street.
We did that a couple times.
I know he did it, but I know they weren't happy about it because I was going to broadcast from out here. They didn't want me out here. So, he thought that was a great idea. You think the ice rink. So, doing all of that, but this is still a really vibrant place. And it's a place, it's a destination, not just because the movies are there.
It still is what Doug Dahlenberg and the Campbell brothers, what they brought to this was they invented a main street that made sense. It's not big enough in my eyes. I think this could have been three times bigger and been three times more successful, but this was the space they had.
But it spread to the other side of Campbell Boulevard is what really happened. Right. And the mall will be rethought at some point.
Oh, yeah.
Now I'm a mall rat from East Point Mall. So
you know what? The mall is already rethought. The Sears part is going to become housing. And you talk more of the people that understand that's going to be housing. It's sold. It's done. That's going to be housing. So you've got this one big corner of the mall coming out as high-end condos and apartments.
They need sandwiches and wine. Sounds like they need sandwiches and wine.
And within walking distance.
Well, that's what we're looking for here. The avenue also.
No one ever lived here. No one could ever walk here in a snowstorm.
Well,
back in the day.
Back in 97, if the licensing and regulations had been different, this should have had a second, third floor with living facilities in it. A lot of centers
all
that
the
do
modern,
that.
All the modern, anything you see in Gaithersburg down that way, they all have that.
That's what they're doing in Bel Air now.
Where?
That's what they're doing in Bel Air on Bond Street.
That's a little tiny place.
Well, listen, my cord's long enough to get my own silver because I make myself at home.
Oh, there you go.
Because I'm not going to go yelling for Salma. But we're here at Red Brick Station. He has brought me sandwiches, which I'm going to be 3 weeks eating. I want to just dive into your crab cake while we're on the air because I'm going to.
Yep.
I know you got places to go. You got Ando's wine to serve over there. I saw that roast beef sandwich on that ciabatta over there, and he keeps dropping the mic on me here without realizing it's live. It's all right. And I wanted that roast beef sandwich. Oh, you're trying to bring. I don't eat that. I'm not eating that.
No. Let's go, Kate.
No, I don't.
I know you've done this for years, but I'm actually going to.
Listen, if you took a picture of me with yellow mustard and showed it to my wife, she would know I would not eat that.
I don't eat
yellow mustard.
Well, here's what you do when you grow up in Catonsville, okay? And this is my mom and my dad.
I know.
Your mom's right up there.
Saltines. Oh, mom's right up
That's
here.
My mom.
Mom's looking down. You're going to give. You're going to wreck this crab cake.
No, are you? No. I only use my piece. You just do this. That's all you do.
Show them how you do it.
Here.
There you go.
You see that little dollop of mustard?
Yep, there you
then
go.
Then you do this right here. You take a little
family
bit of that
style.
Crab
this is family style how
you
we're
do
doing
it just
this.
Just like that. See that crab meat right there?
That's I would not.
All you do.
No, I would. No,
that's
I'm just
all
gonna
you
eat
do.
It the regular way.
Nope.
I'm gonna eat it regular.
Nobody's gonna put some lemon on there. I'd put lemon on
you
that.
You wanna squeeze some lemon?
I'd lemon that.
I don't want to insult the chef. Hold all on. Right. Let me check it out here first. That's lumpy. That's delicious. I'm not insulting you to call that a Catonsville crab cake. I like a Catonsville crab cake. I'm not wrong, right?
The only thing is, I still am a fried guy. We sell majority broiled.
Everybody does.
You put some crunch on that, I'm better off.
Well, they always talk about when you fry it, you need to add more filler to keep it to bind together so it doesn't just fall apart in a frying pan.
Everybody makes excuses and use less crab meat, that's all.
Well, I hear all that.
Don't fill it up too much.
I like slurry. The slurry is the flavor for me. It's what makes it
the one thing
mustardy or makes it obey-ish.
I kind of found in Mountain Branch, where I play golf all the time, they do a good crab cake. It's the exact same recipe as mine, but they use egg whites. So it gets a little fluffy, a little soft. It's really, really good. Instead of using whole eggs, which we use, they use egg whites. And it kind of just fluffs it just this little bit.
This is why the crab cake tour is interesting. Because you were asking me, Katie, about the crab cake tour.
Yeah, I get it.
Every single one are different. And when I dreamed this thing up a couple years ago, you know, during the plague, all the businesses were struggling. I'll need to tell you. I mean, what were you doing here?
We stayed open 100% of the time.
But masks and curbside, and how do you curbside French fries for crying out loud?
I will say this. We knew enough people to cheat just a little. When we closed down, we could do to-go only.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But we wouldn't take the orders over the phone. So they had to come in. Well, while you're waiting for your food, why don't we all have a beer?
Right.
We skated the issue a little bit.
And we were a little terrified.
We were terrified.
A little bit terrified.
And the COVID police came in several times and told us to get these people out of here. And I said, they're waiting for their to-go food. You can't have 60 people in here waiting for the go-food.
With the ball game on. With the ball game on. Right, exactly. Well, listen, during that period of time, I was worried. You know, I walked across the harbor. I lived downtown to Amici's. And Amici's is like sort of my Arnold's, you know. And I'm there. All the lights are off. They're handing people bags. Everybody's got masks on. I'm like, I got tears in my eyes. I'm like, you've got to survive. We all got to. I need to come in here and eat meatballs later on. I got to keep all my businesses open. And that's where the conversation really started. And when things freed up a little bit, it was like I wasn't going to run for mayor. If you guys watched the documentary, I was going to run for mayor in 2020. When that didn't happen, I said, you know, stimulating business is what I've learned about the plague. And that's what my role needs to be. Running for office or not for office, because that's the most important thing going on, is keeping businesses open. Not the Ravens, not the Orioles. They're there to stimulate business, quite frankly.
Yeah.
That's why we gave them $600 million to fix the stadium. And the crab cake thing felt like ping pong democracy to me. It felt like I could go all around town. I could sit in a corner bar in Catonsville, or sit in up in Hereford, or I could go to Bel Air, I could go to Ocean City. And everybody would have a different crab cake. And everybody would have an opinion about their mother's crab cake or my mother's crab cake or fried or broiled. And it would never eat the same crab cake twice. And I have it.
Well, you know, it's funny, too, because when I was a kid, I have a vivid memory of getting a fried crab cake in a pan, whether it was my mom's or my grandmother's or whoever's was. But I remember picking the shell out of it. And yet still, it was the best crab cake ever. They didn't have jumbo lump and colossal
lump. You know,
my
mom would say, that's how you know it's real.
That's right. Yep. When we would have crabs, and we had crabs a lot. I can remember, Katie has a picture of the Holland's Market on her wall in the deli over there. My mom used to take me to Holland's Market on Saturday morning. I put big giant rubber gloves on and pick out my live crabs. And we would literally pick them out of a barrel, put them in a paper bag, and we took those home and
steamed
our own crabs. We steamed them in the kitchen. Four at a time in a pot in the kitchen. And I remember when we were done eating crabs, well, and there's another story to that because that's how I learned to drink beer. But when we were done eating crabs, anything that was left, my mom would go through the pile and say, we can get meat out of that, we can get meat out of that, we can get meat out of that. And my grandmother and my mom would sit down and pick crabs till their fingers were bleeding and take all that meat in a little pile. Tomorrow night we're having crab cakes.
Not crab soup, though.
Crab soup was all the claws.
Right.
Break them, drop them in soup.
Like, smoking a real restaurateur here,
yeah.
Right?
We're too lazy for that now.
I know.
We just get it out of a can.
Buy it in a can. Buy it in a plastic tub. It's fine.
Nah, man. I went down to Costas and went after a dozen last Saturday night. First time this year. man, you know, I mean, yeah, I got to taste of crab meat in my teeth.
Well, you know, I've become good friends with the Conrads, too.
I love Tony and Andrew, great people.
Well, I don't know them personally, but I know their operation because they have a place 2 miles from my house.
Yeah.
And they're so cool because not only are they still doing things the old way, but they've classed it up to a point where I was leaving here late for dinner one night, and I went online and I said, all right, up by my house, they're right there. I wonder if I can order something. I go online. I'm already logged into their computer. I run in the door, pick up tuna and what did I get?
Are you talking about the place on Bel Air?
The little market they built on Bel Air Road.
Sure.
I literally put on my phone, I need that. I got to head out of here. So I told Ann I'd be home at 7 o'clock. It was like 6:30 and I'm still here. I went back way home up Bel Air Road instead of 95, stopped at Conrad's, picked up a bag. It had what I wanted in it. I didn't have to say hi to anybody. They handed me my bag and I ran out the door. I'm home in time. And I got dinner.
Well, I owe Tony a call because he goes on a boat every morning.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes out of Bully's Quarters, and he's invited me on a boat. Have you ever been out on one of the commercial boats?
I have not, no.
I'm gonna get your ass out of bed early one day. We're going to go out and do it together because I need to – you're a real boat guy.
No, this guy's –
you're like a schooner guy.
This guy's – they're the real deal, and they've managed to keep the Conrad name and the Conrad process working. And I wouldn't say I'm ever jealous of it, but I'm really proud that they've been able to do that because they've grown exponentially, and just kept this whole family thing working. And it works in a modern way, which I'm still trying to grow into.
Well, you got a next door here. You're growing in a modern way.
Well, we're still growing, it's like Katie said, in an organic way.
Yeah, it's small. It's small enough it's where small. You can see everything happening, which is, I think, why we're successful. Because you can see a problem before it happens.
Yeah.
So everybody's happy all the time. Because we're watching them.
Well, I'm happy right now, and I haven't even.
You haven't even tried that bad boy.
That thing's as big as my head.
We're going to share that.
I'm going to work on the crab cake.
Work on the crab cake.
Nick Stewart's running for Baltimore County Executive. He's going to come on. Keep that mustard away from me, Bill Blocker.
I'm telling you.
Katie and Bill are here. They're out here at Redbridge Station. You can come and see them anytime. Got a nice view of the mall. Got a nice view of the play area here and the kids' area and the common square. We're on the avenue in White Marsh. I said it would never work. I was wrong again. Come by and get one of the delicious stouts now. My wife did say to me today, if he can bring me some of that blueberry beer we had.
Ooh, when's that coming out?
Yeah, there you go. June 1.
We got 3 weeks.
All right. Well, I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to wait till I'm going to come back.
We'll have you back in 3 weeks, and we'll take our six-pack home. By the way,
I want to do the show over in the Italian joint next door is what I want to do.
Well, that's a tribute to Ando. We still got his picture over there. That'd be a good thing.
All right. We'll step out. We'll take a break. We're here at Redbridge. Anything else I had to get in? You got any events or anything coming up that I need to know about?
Rosé soirée.
Yeah, I've got a couple seats available tomorrow night.
Rosé soirée.
Rosé soirée.
That sounds fancy for me.
It sounds fancy. It's not. It's so fun. We do dinners, wine pairings, all kinds of stuff all the time. It's all on Facebook.
All right.
You know.
Just follow your Facebook page.
Follow our Facebook. Facebook, Instagram.
Come over and see them. My God, we're in White Marsh. There's plenty of ample free parking in the rear. I came over a couple weeks ago for a movie. I haven't been to the movie in a while. I saw the Cheech and Chong movie on 420 at 420.
Oh, did
so
you
I
really?
Came over
that's
that.
Awesome.
I needed to laugh, man. I mean, the Orioles play right now in the pitching.
Well, let's laugh.
I mean, that and the Justin Tye. I need to laugh. So springtime is here. Come see our friends at Redbridge Station. We're doing the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. It is presented by the Maryland Lottery. Have the Back to the Future scratch-offs. We'll be giving these away here. We're going to be back at Fadley's on the 28th of the month, and then we are on the 7th making an adventure back up to Carroll County. We'll be back up at Greenmount Station where they have a delicious crab cake. Next week, we are going to be at the Maryland Party with Howard Perlow, whole bunch of local folks, about 1,800 people will be poolside. We'll be broadcasting poolside from the Encore in Las Vegas. I'm getting my hair done. I'm Nestor. We're back for more here at Redbrick Station on the Maryland Crab Cake Tour. Stay with us. We're going to talk about land use development and government.